All right. How's everybody doing this morning? I'm excited. I hope you guys are getting excited. We've been talking about our 40-day study coming up, 40 days of community, and I've been kind of laying the foundation, and you guys have been awesome through our campaign for our building, and now we're going to start this because here's my passion. We're building a building over there on the corner of Westwood and Finney Road, but the church isn't called to build buildings. The church is called to change lives. That's what the church is about. And that's what this next study is about. I want to make sure we keep our eyes on the right objective, the eyes on our right purpose. And so as we're getting ready, we're going to have our 40-day study. For some of you who aren't familiar with our church, every year, beginning every year lately, about the last 5 years, starting with October, running through just before Thanksgiving, we do a 40-day study. It's a time when our church makes a concentrated effort to be on one subject, one topic, for 40 days. The Sunday school teaches the same thing. The Bible study groups during the week teach the same thing. And I set the tone with a message that starts it off every Sunday that kind of kicks off that week's lesson. And so we have one focused effort. We've been doing this since we did the first study called Purpose in Life. And we've done several of these. And so as we're getting ready now, this message kind of sets the tone. Because here's my passion. I want us to encounter God. I want you to experience God. You know, that's my prayer every Sunday, that when you come into this church, when you come into this place, that you will encounter God, that it would be an experience in your life, that you would be encouraged and leave this place excited. Well, that's what I want this study to do for us. I want this study to be a part of our lives. So I want you to get your worship outline out. It's in your Bible, or it's in your worship folder there. And it has an outline of the message this morning. I just kind of want to look at this. And what I want to do now is kind of go back about a little over 3,000 years ago. We're going to go back to a mountain, a very incredible, large, scary mountain. You're going to see there's some fear and things going on at this mountain. So we're going to go back about 3,000 years. We're going to see about 2 million people that had just fled tyranny, Egypt. 60 days. They've only been gone 60 days out of Egypt. And they come to this mountain, Mount Sinai, and they come to this mountain to hear from God. They come to this mountain to meet God. And God is setting the tone to tell them, get ready for this meeting. We need to understand something, that if we want to meet God, we need to get ready to meet God. You know, if I was going to go meet the president or I was going to go meet somebody who of great stature, I would want to be ready to meet them. You know, have my hair parted right. You know, you want to look in the mirror and make sure, you know, that everything is in its right place and that everything looks good. When we're going to meet God, we need to get ready to meet God. And so in Exodus chapter 19, God kind of outlines for Moses now, Moses, you're going to come up and meet me, and we're going to bring myself down to meet all these people. Let's get ready for this meeting. And so we're going to look at verse 19, chapter 19 of Exodus, and see the people of God getting ready. Because what I want to do, and here's what I want to do, I want us to set the stage to meet God in the next 40 days. I don't want us just to think about we're coming together as a church, we're going to gather with a bunch of people. I want you to think about this 40-day study. We're coming together as a church, we're coming together as a group of people to meet God. That we're here to meet God. And so you get your outline out. I want to begin with this very first point. Look back. Remember God's faithfulness. We need to look back and remember God's faithfulness. This morning, I get here about 7:30, somewhere right around 7:30, 7:40 is when I pull into the parking lot here. And I began walking around this building praying. And as I'm walking around the building, I turn the corner down over here and I look up to the west. And guess what I see in the sky? A rainbow. I see the beginning of a rainbow. You know what my mind goes to right then when I see the beginning of that rainbow? I remember Noah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see a rainbow, and I remember Noah. Here's what I wanted us to think about this morning. We need to remember God's faithfulness. Look at this passage of Scripture. You yourself have seen what I did in Egypt. Anybody remember what went on in Egypt? They were slaves. They were in bondage in Egypt, had been there about 400 years.
While they were there, they were just the slaves. They had to do all the dirty work. But it came time to deliver them. God sent Moses. They had 10 plagues. They crossed the Red Sea. They had seen God. They had seen what God had done and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. They said, God said, now listen, you need to remember me. I'm faithful. I like that little passage there about being on an eagle's wings. I didn't know this, but I was doing some reading this week. And a mother eagle will send her eagle. You know how you ever watch them push the eagle out of the nest, right? You've seen pictures like that. But you know what an eagle, what a mother eagle does? She doesn't just push him out of the nest. She flies underneath that baby eagle with her wings spread out. Underneath that eagle. So if that something happens, guess who's there to catch that baby eagle? That's what God is saying. Remember what I've done. I'm that one who catches you. I'm that one who sits there with you to hold you, to be with you. We need to remember God's faithfulness. We need to see the hand of God. You need to remember what God did and what God has done. We get so wrapped up in our lives. We get so wrapped up in our situation. We get so wrapped up in our struggles. We get all of our problems. And you know what? We start seeing them and we forget about God. Am I right? We start seeing all the things that are collapsing around us, all the things that are falling apart, all our aches, all our pains, all our hurts. And all of a sudden, we take our eyes off God and we see that. And God's sitting there saying, listen, you need to remember, I'm that faithful God. I've been there. You can count on me. You can depend on me. I am there for you. And we need to see that. Look at this next verse. We were not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This morning I got up and I seen the rainbow. It rained. Isn't it kind of refreshing? Does God care for this earth every day? You know, this earth is kind of tilted at a, what, 23 degrees? Isn't it 23 degrees on its axis? And it spins just right that every 24 hours it goes around. The sun rises every day. The atmosphere is just right for us to breathe. The rain comes and replenishes the earth and refreshes the earth. Does God care for this world? And if he cares for this world, does he care for you and I? See, God is faithful. You can count him. Every 24 hours, it just seems to, you know what? I can get up tomorrow morning. You know what I'm going to see in the morning? I got a meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to walk to this meeting, and as I walk, the sun's going to come up. You know, every day. See, is God faithful? Do we see the... We need to remember God is faithful, that he's always there. And I look back over my life, and I was thinking about some of the times in my life where I've seen God's hand. And I remember, I was writing the message this week, I was remembering when I was down in college, and, you know, Laura and I move off to college, no job, you know, when you're 21 years old, you know, you're not afraid of anything, you know. So we pack everything we have in a car, in a truck, in the back of a car, and we jump in a car. Never been on California Baptist College University now campus. All I know is I got $1,000 in the bank, I got an apartment room, and I got a schedule to go to for class. That's it. And we drive off to college. No job promise, no nothing. It's just like, we're gone. Been married a few months and we're off. And as I walk onto the campus, it's like, I got to find a job. And so I'm walking down the hall one day and I'm going to a board that advertises jobs. And I've shared this with some of you and you've heard. And as I'm walking down there, some guy walks by me and he says, hey, what are you doing? I said, oh, I've come to look at the board for a job. And the guy goes, well, you know, this place called Butcher Boys, it's over here in Riverside, and they hire a lot of our students. So it's like, okay, so I'll go by. So I go by and turn my application in, and I do get hired. I end up working at Butcher Boys the whole time I'm there. But what's interesting is this. First of all, the guy that I met in the hallway, I never seen him again. I don't know who he was. He wasn't on staff there. He wasn't one of the counselors. I have no idea who this guy was. I never met him. Don't know anymore other than he was just a guy who stopped me and said, hey, you're looking for a job. I'm working at Butcher Boys. You know what else is really interesting? I was the first California Baptist College student they ever hired at Butcher Boys. He told me they hire a lot of students there. They had no idea who California Baptist College was. Yeah, I look back at that. You know what? I needed a job. Here's what's amazing to me. You know, ever since that time, I have never, ever looked for a job. Every time. I'm at Golden Gate Seminary, starting getting ready to go to seminary where they work on my master's. I'm walking out of chapel area, walking down the hill back to my apartment. Some guy stops me, don't even know the guy. You need a job? Yeah, I'm going to need a job. Go see this guy, call this number. I call the number and I got a job. I knew the guy, I finally got to meet the guy. He didn't disappear like the other one. I think the other one was an angel. You guys can think what you want, but I think he was an angel. This guy I knew. And it got me a job. I mean, I can go on with story after story of how God, ever since I left for college, since I was 21 years of age, I've had needs. I've had to have work. But every time I've turned around, God has been faithful. I remember driving down 99 one Christmas. We're flying down the road and buzzing down the road. And all of a sudden you look at a tire and there's a tire rolling down the road. And it passes me. You know where that tire was from? My car! Middle of the night, late at night, 7, 8, 9 o'clock. I don't remember what time it was. It was late at night. It's dark out there. It's Christmas time. Car's packed full of Christmas presents. Driving up to Sacramento, and there goes your tire. Down the side of the hill. Yeah. So I go down and get the tire, but I have no tools. I can't put the tire back on. I have no lug nuts. I don't know how the tire came off. Somebody loosened my lug nuts on my car. So cell phones weren't then. That tells you how long ago it was. Some of you guys are going, there was a time when there was no cell phones. Yeah, there was a time when there was no cell phones, all right? Yeah. Some young couple just pulls over, says you want to ride. So we are a cherished possession and a chosen priesthood. You are. Not somebody next to you. Not the preacher who's standing up here. Not somebody on the worship team or somebody ushering or somebody doing this. That you are a cherished possession. Every one of us is special. We're unique. We belong to God. And we have a responsibility because we have direct access to God to represent God to our world and to serve it. That's what God has called us to do. We need to look ahead to the future. What else do we need to do? Let's see what else it says here in this 19th chapter. Oh. We need to look around and commit with the community. There's a bad word in there I want you to circle. I want you to circle the word commit in that line there. I don't know about you, but who likes making commitments? That's something we usually try to avoid. But not only commitments as an individual, but commitments as a people, as a community. Look at this passage of Scripture. The people all responded. The people all responded together. We will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. We most of the time respond as an individual. It's about me, myself, and I. And most of the time we look at ourselves as individuals. But God sees us as a community. We are a family of God. We are a church. We are the called out ones. We are a people of God. Just like Israel was a people of God, we are a people of God, and we need to respond as a community. That's why we're going to be talking about all these things, about getting in a small group. Matter of fact, you have your little outline there. I want you to kind of turn back over to the second page, backside of the front page. There's some bold letters right there, little square boxes. I want you to look at these with me. As a community, join or host a 40-day small group. Your group may meet once a week. We'll meet once a week for 6 weeks. As a community, will we say yes, Lord? Commit to attending all 7 weekends during the campaign. Now, I'm going to be kind of nasty right now. That's a challenge for some of you. 7 weeks in a row? Yeah. So I'm going to challenge you. 7 weeks in a row, okay? Read the 40 daily devotionals based on one another passages found in the Bible, and we will all read these daily through the 6 weeks of the campaign. You're going to get a book with all that in it.
and use the memory verse key tags each of the 6 weeks. Include one memory verse that we will memorize together as a church. I want you to know, we are going to do this. And that doesn't mean I have a mouse in my pocket. That means we. All right? That's us. We're a community. We're the family of God. And I'm going to ask you, are we going to make a commitment? Will we say, we will do everything the Lord has said? Will you say that? Will you say, God, I'll do everything you said? We're going to step out and we're going to challenge ourselves. And we're going to move. And it's not going to be easy. But we need to do this. I think one of the great tragedies that we have in America is we see a very individualistic nation. It's all about me. Everything in America, isn't it? Come on now. We need to see ourselves as a community. We need to see ourselves as a people. We need to see ourselves as a family. And that's a challenge in today's world, especially here in America. Because we always concentrate on number one. And I don't know about you, but number one for me is me. Now, number one for you should be me, not you, okay? I'll just help you out there. Yeah. We need to see ourselves as a community. And I want to ask you, as we get ready to do this study, you know, if you notice those boxes there, they're called check boxes. You know why they're called check boxes? Because I want you to put a check in there, all right? If you're willing to do that as a community, I want you to put a check in there. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. Next week, you're going to have your own paper to do it on, all right? In order to get your book and your material, you're going to have your paper. Just said, I'm going to do that. And you're going to have to make a commitment next week. So start today. Make a commitment. You're part of a community. And it's about us together. We got to do it together. I don't know about you, but I got this for you. I need you guys. We need one another. We need each other. That's who we are. We are social beings. We like to think I can do everything on my own. You know what? If you can do everything on your own, make your clothes, go kill your food, and let's see what you can do. All right? Come on now. How many here could really plant a garden and survive on what you grow? Boy, we need one another. Don't, you know, I don't need anybody. I got news for you. You need one another. We need each other physically, and we need each other spiritually. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We're going to do this as a community. We're going to do this together. All right? Does that sound fair? You want God to do something? Let's do it together as a people of God, as a family, as a church. The next thing I wanted us to look at real quick is we need to look inward and prepare yourself spiritually. You need to get ready spiritually. Look at what the scripture says. Then the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people for my visit. God's getting ready to come. Let's get ready. Purify them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day, for I will come down upon Mount Sinai as all the people watch. He's saying, get ready. I'm going to come and visit you. Well, I want to challenge us to get ready. But here's the problem. I don't know about your schedule, but my schedule's full. All right? Already, Monday morning. Let's see, I got a 6 o'clock meeting Monday morning. I got an 8:30 meeting Monday morning. I got a 4 o'clock meeting Monday afternoon. I got a 6:30 meeting Monday night. That's Monday. Tuesday starts at 8 o'clock again. I got an 8 o'clock meeting Tuesday. I got a 6:30 meeting again Tuesday night. Anybody got a schedule like that? We're busy. But if we're going to have God meet us, and we want to meet with God, we got to get ready. So the first thing I put down here is this. I will set aside some time. I'm going to set aside some time. I'm going to put some time aside that I can get ready to meet God. I'm going to set aside time to pray. I'm going to set aside time to read the Bible. I'm going to set aside time just to be still and listen to God. Look at the scripture. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Every day. You need to make time for God every day. All right? Somewhere in the midst of your day, do you have time for God? Like I said, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up, 5 o'clock or so, and I'll walk down. I don't know if we're going to meet at Burger King or Starbucks. I don't know where we're going to meet yet. And I'll walk over there. And I enjoy walking because you know what I'm doing while I'm walking? It's nice, quiet time that early in the morning. The sun's coming up. And I can talk with God and be with God as I stroll down the street. Yeah. Will you make time for God? In that busy schedule, in the running and the hustle and the bustle of the day, will you make time for God? You got to make it, okay? It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen, I got some spare time. Anybody got spare time? None of us do. Will you make time for God? If you want to get ready for God to do something, will you make time for him? Not only do you need to make time, I put it this way, you need to take an inventory. You need to look inside yourself. I put a question here. Where am I with the Lord right now in my own relationship? Where are you right now with God? Is there maybe some sin in the way? Is there some stuff? Are there some issues? Some struggles? Where are you right now in your relationship with God? Are you ready to meet him? Are you prepared to sit down with God? What would you feel like if you walked out to your car in just a few moments, you got in there, and when you got in the car, God was sitting in the seat next to you? Are you ready to meet him? I mean, you open the door, you get in, and all of a sudden, who? Would you be ready to meet him? Look at the scripture. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Anybody know there was a church in Ephesus? The church in Ephesus, there's 7 of them in the book of Revelation. This is just one of them. John's writing the church and he's saying, listen, you've kind of drifted. You've kind of moved away. You know, most of us, we need to understand this. Most of us don't jump away from God. Most of us really don't just move away from God. Most of us kind of just slide away. Unintentionally, unknowingly, accidentally. We just kind of drift. And then all of a sudden, we're over here, like maybe this morning, and you're asked the question, where are you in your relationship with God? And it's like, I've just been drifting. I've just kind of let things go. I just haven't been where I need to be. That's what this 40-day study is about. You want God to visit you during these next 40 days. Are you prepared to take an inventory? Are you prepared to meet him? And then the last thing I want to put here as I think about spiritually, probably the most powerful thing we have, probably the most necessary thing you can do, is I will pray diligently. If you want to draw near God, you need to pray. If you want to reignite that passion for God in your heart, you need to pray. If you want to draw closer to God, you need to pray. If you want to renew your life with God, you need to pray. If you want to be one in one with God, you need to pray. The greatest thing we have is prayer. And we need to pray. So I got a challenge for you. I'm not letting you guys off the hook today. I've asked you to write things down. I've asked you to take an inventory. I got a little 6-day thing of prayer right here. Matter of fact, see, I got this. Guess what? I got one for every one of you. They're going to bring these out for you. The ushers are going to bring them out for you, and they're going to give you one of these. And I'm going to challenge you to take this home. And starting today, because just so you know, it says day one. I numbered it really simple, okay? All right? But I'm going to show you. Day one, Sunday, October 3rd. And it just gives you a thing. God, I pray. And then if you open it up, it says day two. Can you imagine that? Monday. Oh, day two is going to be Monday. October the 4th. Day three, four, five, six, and seven. I just want you to take this home. Set it on your dining room table as you have your cup of coffee. Set it. I'm going to tell you some of you. I'll tell where some of you need to put this, all right? Two places. I'm going to give some of you two places because I know some of you. Some of you, you have coffee in the morning, and so that's a good place. Your kitchen table by the coffee pot. Some of you need to put this by your computer. All right? Some of you need to put this by your computer. Some of you need to put this on your nightstand under your telephone. You know, that cell phone? So when you pick your cell phone up, you see this? Yeah. You need to put this where you're going to see it every day. Because I don't know about you, but I need reminders. Anybody else? Put this by your computer. Put this by your cell phone. Put it somewhere. Hang it on your mirror. You know, put it on, tape it to the mirror. So when you comb your hair in the morning, at least I hope you comb your hair, if you got it. Did I say that? Put it somewhere where you'll see it every day. Remember to pray every day. I'm serious, this will take you 3 minutes at the most. Just 3 minutes. Just spend 3 minutes in prayer every day. Diligently pray. I mean, it's real simple. God, I just want you to visit me. God, whatever it says, I just give you some ideas here to pray. And just spend time. Put it somewhere. The reason I'm saying this is because most of us talk a good talk about prayer. I'm going to ask you a question here. Have you ever told somebody, I'll pray for you on a Sunday morning? You walk back into church next Sunday and you see them and you go, oh, I forgot to pray for them. Don't raise your hand. All right? Why do you think I ask you guys to write it on that paper every night? Because I would forget if you told me Sunday morning, I would forget you. That's why I ask you to write it on that blue card every night, every Sunday. Because it's easy to forget. We forget. It's natural, it's simple, it's easy to forget. So put this somewhere where it will remind you to pray every day. Just a few minutes every day. Just over the next 6-7 days. So we can pray. I want God to do something great in the next 40 days. God has done awesome things through our church, through our 40-day studies. Anybody that's been through us in the last 7 years can look back over our church. And those 40-day studies God has blessed. I mean, think about it. 40 days of purpose. Acts 1:8. The giving campaign where we outgave what anybody could imagine our church giving. Pilgrim's Progress. Relationships. God has moved great times through those 40-day studies. And I think he wants to do it again. But I believe it's going to have to begin with prayer. So I want to ask you to pray, to diligently pray, to diligently go and seek God and see what God can do. So lastly, if you look at your outline, I want to say, look up, get ready for a God encounter. Look up, get ready for a God encounter. Look at this scripture. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And then Moses led the people. I want you to circle those words, out of the camp. If you're going to encounter God in this study, you're going to have to do something different. Did you hear what I said? If you want to encounter God in this study, you're going to have to do something different. They had to get out of the camp and move. We get in our comfort zones. We get in our routines. We get in our traditions. We get in the way we've always done things. And we get comfortable. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We get comfortable. And I want to call you out of that comfort zone today. Because I want God to do something special for you and with you and in you. Don't sit around and wait for God to move. You get out and you get to moving. We were talking last night, I forget who it was, and I made a comment about, you know, it's hard to get something that's standing still to move. But once something is already moving, isn't it easy to give direction to it? And that's how I feel God works. If you're moving, God can direct you. If you're standing still. So I want to challenge you to get out of your comfort zones. Think about Israel here. 60 days ago, they were nobodies in a foreign land, slaves. They had nothing. They leave with nothing. But they're not slaves anymore. They're at the base of this majestic mountain that God says he's going to come down and visit them. But they got to get out and go. I'm going to challenge you, will you get out and go? For some of you, it's going to be, you might want to host a 40-day study. You might be sitting there saying, I've never done that. I don't know. Will anybody come? Who can I invite? I got a class today at 4 o'clock at my house. We're going to talk about how to get it going. If you're going to lead a group, you need to be there. If you're interested in the group, come on over there. Next week, you're going to see over here on the side over here, we're going to move that curtain back, and we're going to have all the tables, all the groups are going to be set up over there for you guys to walk around. I'm going to tempt you to my groups. I'm going to put candy on my table to get you to go by my table. I'll tempt you guys to come by and see mine. Yeah. I want you to see the groups. I want you to see the leaders. I want you to meet the people. I want you to be a part of that. For some of you, maybe it's not hosting a group. Maybe it's going and joining a group. I'm going to this person's house I've never been to. I don't know this person very well. Will they like me? Will they accept me? Will I fit in? You'll have all these thoughts running through your head. Some of you, that's your comfort zone. And just going to somebody's house for a Bible study would be hard. It'd be challenging. You know? For some of you, trying to memorize a Bible verse, one for every week for 6 weeks, it's going to be a challenge. Well, I can't memorize anyway, so why even try? It's funny how you memorize all the phone numbers, but you can't memorize a Bible verse. Yeah. We need to challenge ourselves. We need to take that step. Will we do it? To meet God, we got to change. We got to move. And it's not always easy, and it's not always comfortable. Look at this next scripture with me. When the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the horn, and when they saw the lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. Moses went up to the mountain. He met God. The people heard all of the commotion on the mountain, the smoke, the thunder. They heard all of that on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain. Moses comes down from the mountain, and the scripture says his face glowed because he was in the presence of God. The people could see that Moses had been with God because his face glowed. Remember, he had to wear a cover over his face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can read the story there if you want to read it. Or you should read it if you haven't. But there's something else I see here that I want to challenge us with. Anybody ever stood around a campfire? Anybody? Anybody ever go camping, stand around a campfire? Come on, guys. You go back to your cabin or you go back to your tent, and what do you smell like? You smell like smoke from the campfire, don't you? I wonder if the people around that mountain smelt like smoke because they had been there with God. Maybe their face didn't show like Moses, but maybe they smelt like smoke from the mountain. So that when they ran into people, when others had seen them, you would know that, hey, I had been with God. I want to challenge you. Would you smell like smoke in these next 40 days? Would you be a little different in these next 40 days because you've been with God. If you're going to be, you're going to have to prepare. That's what this message was about. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? I'm not talking about, well, I got to get new clothes and a suit and tie and blah, 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 blah. I'm talking, are you ready to meet God? If you got in your car when you walked out this building and God is sitting in the seat next to you, are you ready? Will others know you've been with God because they can see him? Because they were there? See, we went back 3,000 years to see as God began to prepare Israel to meet him. Moses led Israel for 40 years. Moses led Israel. Took them all through the wilderness, if you're familiar with the story, and brought them to the corner and to the edge of the Jordan River, ready to go in. And Moses isn't going to get to go. It's been 40 years. And I want you to see what Moses writes just before the people go into the promised land that Moses doesn't get. We're going to slide on through to the 20th chapter. Look what Moses writes in the 20th chapter. Only be careful and watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children, to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord, your God, at Horeb. I want to ask you. We're going to have a great study. We're going to have a great time. We're going to build our building. All this is going to go on. But can we not at some day, 40 years down the road, 40 years down the road, I'll be 96 years old, 95, not quite 96. I still got a month to go. To look back and say, remember what God did in 2010. Don't you want to be able to say something like that? Don't you be able to say, remember when God... I want to challenge you to make this something special. To make this something unique in your life. That as you go past this day, that as you move from this day forward, you can look back and say, I remember this day because. You know, there's some days burned in my mind. I don't know about you, but you know, the day I got married, that one sticks pretty good in my mind. All right, you know, that day, June the 12th, 1976, that day's kind of burned in my mind. If it wasn't, I'd be in trouble, right? You know, that day's kind of there. There's another day that's burned in my mind. I remember as vividly as I can. I remember the day I was baptized. See, I remember that day. I remember the day that there was 13 of us that day that were baptized. Vividly remember in the dressing room, changing clothes and getting ready to walk up and down into the baptistry. I remember that day. It was a life-changing day. I remember that day I sat at my dining room table that preceded that day and I accepted Jesus Christ. It burned in my mind. I remember that day sitting there and my cousin sitting on this side. I can tell you right where she was sitting, on this side. And shared with me what made the youth different in that church that I didn't have was Jesus. I knew there was something different. I didn't know what it was. And I remember that day. Yeah. I remember days that are special. Can today be a day? Can this 40 days of community be a day that you look back and say, it changed my life. It changed a perspective. It's changed how I see my community. It changed how I see the person sitting next to me. It changed my relationship with God. Don't you want to be able to say this? Remember the day you stood before the Lord. I want to challenge you. We're going to have a great time in this study. Will you join? Will you be a part of what God is going to do? As a people, I want to say, I will. Bottom of your page, I just put it this way. Lord, change my life. Change my community. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. Can you do that? I want to invite you to be a part of our study. I want to invite you, first of all, to be a part of what God is doing. To be a part of what God wants to do in Salida. We have a great opportunity. You know, this recession has really hit Salida hard. You know, not long ago, there was 400 empty homes in Salida. There's only like 3,000 homes. And there's like 400 empty. You know, that's over 10%. Drive down my neighborhood street. Laura and I were walking around looking at garages. I go down Maximilian. There's two or three homes on Maximilian been empty. We have a chance to make a difference in our community. You have a chance to make a difference in your community. Maybe it's your community at work. Maybe it's your community and your family. Maybe it's part of being what's going on in Salina, and we're going to make a difference. I'm going to challenge, will you be different? Will you be able to look back and say, I remember. I remember October of 2010. God started something in me that changed my life. Will you let him change you? Let's pray.